Luke 2, verses 1 through 20. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged, and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. For see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom God favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We treasure this telling, Luke's telling of the Christmas story. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration of Quirinius was governor of Syria. Luke sets a scene, and he sets it in real time. I believe it's important to remember that. We read these familiar words, and our minds and our hearts form a beloved image of Joseph and Mary arriving at a stable behind an inn on the edge of the town of Bethlehem. If our Christmas cards are any indication of the scene, we admit to adding snow on the hillside, a full moon casting a soft light on the landscape, a lantern in the stable casting a warm and inviting light there, with pleasant face and welcoming animals in neatly swept stalls. Mary is, of course, dressed in blue. Or perhaps our beloved picture goes straight to later in the evening, after Jesus has been born, and amazingly, sparklingly clean, and has been placed in a quaint and rough-hewn manger with golden straw, while Mary kneels beside him, still lovely, in her unmussed blue, with Joseph beaming proudly, leaning on his walking stick. We tend to Photoshop the whole thing. We love it, and well, we should love it. We need to look at it this way, because if you can't come to church on Christmas and receive a vision of something inherently and undeniably good and pure and beautiful, then where is the comfort? Where is the joy? hard enough already, isn't it? We put our energy into controlling as many variables in our life as possible. And to be honest, we're worn out by that effort. I just realized the contrast. When I was in Dover, Delaware, we were right smack in the middle of town, and we heard it all the time. But it's very different to hear it out here. So we look to God, whoever is the subject of visitation. Life is hard for somebody else right now. So, we come today not only to get a bit of rest, but to enter that warm, that inviting light, receive something comforting, maybe joyful. This story is a bit like, for some of us, Southern comfort food. For me, really good corn pudding for a weary soul. And it is that, but it's more than that. Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel, is born in a backwater town far from the centers of power, where a young girl, likely still frightened despite Gabriel's "do not be afraid," gives birth with no one to help her but her husband, who is likely equally frightened, and forced to take refuge in a stable full of snowing animals in their snowy stalls in the Middle East, where there might be some snow on the Golan Heights in the winter, but it's extremely unlikely in and around Bethlehem, and where the shepherds who show up are the unbathed poor at the very bottom of the power structure, along with a few even dirtier and smellier sheep. Why does God choose this place and this place and this time? We can tell this story today, couldn't we? During an uneasy week of ceasefire between the Israelis and the Palestinians, as clashes between settlers and Palestinian youth were ongoing, when Benjamin Netanyahu was Prime Minister of Israel, and no one was quite sure who was the true leader of Palestine, when Bashar al-Assad was President of Syria and brutally quelling an uprising of his own people, a man named Joseph and his pregnant wife Mary were trying to get through a checkpoint in the West Bank, but were turned back, even though they were Jewish, because their papers were not in order. They found shelter in a bombed-out shell of a house somewhere near the tourist town of Bethlehem. CNN reports that some local shepherds told reporters that a baby was born there and talked about strange lights and ethereal singing, but reporters could not confirm these accounts with any local officials. God came into our world in a time not unlike our own. God came into our world not in the centers of power, but on the fringes, among the disenfranchised. Why? Could it be that God is trying to tell us, even in a whispered voice, perhaps in the cooing of a baby, something the powerful Romans were afraid to admit, and something you and I are usually afraid to admit, that these lives we carefully construct in this world we work so hard to manage are just not enough. There's a God-sized hole in our lives that all our careful planning and successful implementation cannot fill. Luke is telling us that God didn't come in Jesus to make things just a little better, a little more bearable. God came to turn over tables, to create a whole new system, to redeem and resurrect us, and fill that hole in our lives that keeps us from treating one another and all God's creation as beloved. That's scary, because we've invested a lot in our lives as we know them. And to consider making God the center of our lives means giving up what we know. But it's also thrilling. It's thrilling because God's coming speaks to a place deep down inside each of us that wants something more. more than a better job or more money, something more than a comfortable home or an enjoyable retirement. These things are good, but ultimately, they don't satisfy. We so very much want a sense of meaning and purpose. We want to believe that there's more to this life than meets the eye, and that we can be a part of God's purpose for healing the brokenness of our world. My friends, God comes into our world in Jesus to join in our ups and our downs, our hopes and our fears, not just to give us more of the life we know, to give us new, abundant life. In his coming, Jesus promises that God will not stop until each and every one of us has been embraced and caught up in God's tremendous love, and that God-sized hole in each of us is filled with good news from the angels unto you. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is the Messiah, the Lord. May these tidings fill us with comfort and joy in you. Amen. Picture of angels and of a manger, the picture of shepherds and wise men, the picture of Mary and Joseph and the baby. Oh, yes, the baby. Bless the memory of the story, O God, that again we add the saga of our days to this ancient promise. For our time, for whom do we pray today? We pray for the children. We pray for the children who wiggle and whisper around us at the side of our Christmas Eve night.